croakers, whatever you were doing, it was for the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Feed me just a little bit, Brother Tim. Hallelujah. I've got right much scripture today, and I treasure the scripture. I think one of the great problems in ministry is ministers overlook the scripture and they get involved in side roads. But there's no substitute for the Word of God. No substitute. Our first journey is going to be chapter 3 of Acts, verses 1 through 9. Then we would be going to Luke chapter 22 and coming back to Acts chapter 1. And on the screen, they'll keep you in rhythm on that. There's a clause in the third chapter of Acts that is the title of my message, "Such as I have." It goes on to say, "Give I unto thee." But I just cut it off right there, "such as I have." Peter is talking to the cripple at the gate. Born crippled, never been able to walk. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." That's our job. That's our existence. I don't know your problem that you might have come to this auditorium with, but such as I have, give I thee. There's power in words. There's transforming power in words. You can come in whipped by the devil, and somebody can just say a simple faith-building statement, and it will blow you right up. Anybody ever had that happen? It's power in words. You're captive by the words of your mouth. We have a prerogative, a privilege. We have a choice either to speak death words or life words. The power of the tongue, the power of words is in the tongue. I can speak myself in the basement, or I can speak myself in the attic to heaven bound. So Peter speaks and he says, "Such as I have." There is a great body of religion that uses that with no avail. My question today is, do you have something worth giving? Chapter 3, verse number 1. You know these scriptures, but I'm not going to just say, well, we don't need to read them. They're important. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon. And a certain distinct man, not just the face in the crowd, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. It's a shame to have to be carried all your life. I don't mean physically. I don't mean somebody picking you up. And I'm talking about you can't walk on your own feet. Somebody's got to prop you up all the time. You're ready to fall over. Am I talking to anybody? He was carried. There may be people that you've spent years being carried. Your family's carried you. Your church has carried you. Your neighbors carried you. Well, days like today is God's significant time that you don't have to be carried anymore. The people that have been carrying you can run by and say, I'll get you over there. And you can say, no, thank you. I don't need to be carried. Am I talking to anybody? What a joyous day when the dawn of revelation comes to your mind and you say, I'm not a wimp. I'm not a lame person. I'm not a leanover. I can walk the walk and talk the talk. I can do what I'm supposed to do. He assigned me. Shut up, Micaiah. He was carried. You got to admit, I don't know how far I'm going to get. You got to admit the people that carried him were faithful people. Committed people. I'm not bashing them. I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm not saying they should have turned them loose. If you turn some people loose, they're going to fall. They're going to collapse. But they were, listen. Be not weary in well-doing. He didn't say making the lame to walk and the blind to see and all that. That's all maybe part, but doing well, helping people. I think about Brother Larry Jefferson. Every month, loads the equipment up in that vehicle of his, rain, shine, or whatever, goes to that nursing home and ministers as if he's ministering to Brooklyn Tabernacle. He's not grown weary in well-doing. And I can tell you right now, the God that keeps a score has got his scorecard up to date. Whatever you're doing, be not weary in it. Does anybody feel what I'm? He was carried daily, laid at the gate. That's as far as they could take him. Carried to the beautiful gate. A splendorous gate and one blotch. One flaw. People walking in can't see the gate because they see the mangled man, the crippled man. What a heartbreak at the beautiful gate and yet a pathetic situation. I got to go. He's going to ask for alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Something broke. He's gone through that gate many times. He's been around Jerusalem years. He knew what gate was beautiful. He knew the names of the sheep gate, all that. But something snapped inside of him that was God and said, "Look on us." Oh, y'all hear me. And he gave heed unto them, focused his mind upon him, got full attention, expecting to receive something of them. If you come to this house this morning with a need, you have a right to expect something from the people. Amen? You're not messing around barking up a dead tree. You come expecting, believing that we're not angels. We don't walk around flapping our wings, but we walk with God. Expecting. Then Peter said, he cleared the record, "Silver and gold have I none." Pause, comma. Implying that I may not have that, but I got something better. You get the silver and gold, you're going to buy groceries and you're going to eat and it's going to be gone. And you're going to be right back asking for some help next week. But if I give you something superior, if I give you something that is not temporary, that can help you go earn a living, put food on your table, that's better than a few dollars in your cup. Oh, Jesus, help me. "But such as I have," he didn't. Now, he had to know that he had something. Don't lose that. He wasn't speaking hype. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes what he had. But he had to know that it was not just straws in the wind. He had experienced something that remained with him and he retained it. And he's willing to share it. Oh, God, help me. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That is not a request. That is not a suggestion. That's an imperative. That's a charge. That's a command. Get up. Deep calls unto deep. There's something inside of you that's of God. You might have laid out drunk last night, but there's still something. You were born in the image of God. You got a receptor inside of you that if somebody reaches through the exterior and the junk and the baloney and get down to that receptor and speak to that. Don't speak to your intellect. Speak to that part of you that was born of God, that was, deep calls unto deep. He's laying there paralyzed, can't get up, but there's something inside of him that is waiting for a command from God Almighty. And Peter comes by that morning and issues that command. He's not talking to the man's brain. He's not talking to the man's stature. He's talking to the spirit man. And if you can get the spirit man up, the physical man's going to come up. Does anybody believe I'm telling you the truth? He took him by the hand, by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, the crippled man, leaping up, stood, walked, got up, stood, and walked, and entered into the with them into. He didn't say they're having a special down at Kmart. He didn't say I'll see you next week. He said, I got to find out what this is all about. He entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That would shake some people up, wouldn't it? And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was, but that's all we'll go. Are y'all with me? I haven't said that, I don't think, this morning. Are you with me? Yes. Glory to God. Now, this was great. This command that Peter gave, it was great. It reeks of authority. It reeks of confidence. But let me show you today that he was not always that kind of man. He was not always capable of saying, I got something for you. He was not always capable of saying, I've got something better than your bank account. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 54. They took him, Jesus, led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Same man, just a whole different mindset. Followed afar. He's curious, but he's not courageous. That sounded good. Curious, isn't that amazing how people will come to church and sit on the back, you that are on the back pew, I'm not getting on you. Isn't that amazing? Some people come and sit on some of the pews just because they're curious. I'm so glad Mr. Curiosity is here. I'm so glad because, can I tell you a secret? Your curiosity is going to get you in the boat. It's going to pull you in. I went there to fight, but thank God that night something got a hold of me. Or something got a hold of me. Peter followed afar off, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat among them. Same man. Now, he couldn't say to this man in Jerusalem at the gate called Beautiful, he couldn't leapfrog. He's in the vicinity, but he couldn't say to him, I'll be by in a few days, and I'm going to get you up. He couldn't do it because Jesus said, the Holy Ghost is with you and shall be in you. Some people are walking with the Holy Ghost in regeneration, but they're not walking in the Holy Ghost in baptism. Peter sat down among them, and a certain man, see, it was a certain man in Acts chapter 3. Now it says, God just put certain people. That was good. That lady that waited on you, that impressed you, it was just not an accident. God, certain people. God pulls certain people off the highway and says, go pick up a pop at the store and tell someone. God deals with certainties. And I'll never get through with this. Beheld him, Peter, as he sat in the midst of the hall, as he, verse 56, as he's set by the fire, he's sitting by the wrong fire. And earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, talking about Jesus. But he did not. Jesus had already told Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, sirree. Don't you even think that, Lord. Jesus even called him Lucifer, Satan. Now, that would discourage me. If I'm walking along doing the best I can and Jesus just turned to me and says, get behind me, devil. Whoa. I'd probably miss church next Sunday. Jesus don't mess around. He don't just sprout words. And this one, Peter's sitting beside the fire. And he said, I am not, verse 59, and about the space of 1 hour, another came confidently at a firm saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Denying. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. All right, would you turn with me now to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Is all this okay? You're getting it whether it's agreeable or not. Would somebody just give him a raised hand to signify? Katu mokoyande. Chapter 1 of Acts and verse number 8. Jesus is speaking to Peter and John and James and, 500 is what Paul said in Corinthians. But you shall receive power. Now there's a word that could interchange there. Capability. You receive the authority and capability. All right? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's home, in Judea, that's your neighborhood, and Samaria, that's anywhere in the world, to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen? The Holy Ghost does not come in your life just to speak in tongues. Get that in your mind. He does not come in your life to make you jump up and down like a jumping jack. I'm not saying don't do it. He comes in your life to give you power, authority. And the devil inevitably will recognize authority. Don't send us into the deep, the demon said in Luke chapter 5. Don't do that. Send us, They knew that one that was speaking to them had authority over them. Right now, one of the most popular things going on in certain areas of the world is exorcism. Is that the way you say it? I mean, there people are coming out of the woodwork, casting out demons and spirits and writing books about it. But it's real. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right. Chapter 2, verse number 14 and 15. Peter standing. Now, something's happened to him now. In chapter 2, his world was turned upside down. It was changed. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly a sound from Hedaboshaka, from heaven. If the sound from heaven comes into you, it's going to come out of you. That makes sense, doesn't it? We're trying to act like we got the sound of heaven many times and we don't have it. We just got the sound of people. Oh, Lord, help me. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice. The Holy Ghost had fallen in the upper room and great things had taken place. And you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. Do y'all, Father, now I've made some comments, and now let me just get to what we want to say, that you'd be glorified in Jesus' name, amen. There is a before and after in Peter's life. I read you the before while he's sitting at the fire and Jesus is on trial. He's a coward. He's intimidated. He's curious, but he's not courageous. He wants to be a supporter. Listen to me. He really and honestly wants to be a supporter of the cause of Christ, but he's not courageous enough to step out of the shadows. It happens. Everywhere in gospel churches, they want to support the cause of Christ, but they don't want to be radical. They don't want to just be explosive. And they're going to live and die and never make a mark for the kingdom of God. And if by some fate they end up in heaven, it's going to be a blushing experience to them when they look back and say, I could have done that. I could have stepped in that gap. I could have spoken up. But I let intimidation hinder me. So Peter had a before and after. Before he set in at the fire, he curses. One of the gospels say he cursed. You can't get any lower than that. I don't know him. Get away from me. Jesus, they lead Jesus by, headed up Calvary, and Jesus stops and looks at him. There's never been a look in this life like the look that Jesus Christ gave Simon Peter. It went through him. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. But don't put a period on his life. Maybe just put a semicolon, maybe a comma. Because him weeping is not the end of his story. He redeems himself by the grace and mighty power of God Almighty. Chapter 2 previous is the before and after episode of his life. He's intimidated. He thinks he's got it, but he don't have it. He gets in a boat with the other disciples, and they start across the body of water, and a ferocious storm comes up, and they're all afraid for their lives, and they look and see Jesus coming. They don't know it's Jesus. It's a spirit, they think. And Peter, you know the story, Lord, if it's you, bid me come, come. And Peter got out of the boat. He thinks he's got it. He's been walking with Jesus now for 3 years or more. He thinks he's got it. I've been with a miracle worker. I've been with a mountain mover. He gets out of the boat and starts walking on water. Water, listen to me good, water is trouble. With bridges like we've got now, boat motors like we got, there's no need anybody walking on water just to show off. It's not water that you need to walk on. It's your problems. Trouble, water is trouble. Peter got out of the boat and walked on his trouble. That's a message right there. There's some of us that need to get out of what we are and start walking on our trouble. If you don't walk on your trouble is going to, you're going to drown in your trouble. You got to square your shoulders and say, I know I can handle this. You're checking the mailman and seeing if he's going to leave you a $100 check. You're checking everything, the doctor's office, maybe you read the reports wrong, all this stuff. But what you've got to do is say, I refuse to let my trouble swamp me. I will overcome my trouble and I will walk on them. I will pick my foot up and I say, trouble, You tried to drown me. Trouble, you tried to imprison me. But get out of my way because I'm coming. And he got his mind off of Jesus. Got his mind. Listen to me good. Got his mind on his trouble. And as soon as he got his mind on his trouble, he started sinking. There's a lesson there. Get your mind back on Jesus. That's the only way you're going to survive your trouble. Get your eyes and your fasten your looks back upon Jesus. Because he's still the master of your trouble. He's still the Lord of your problem. He's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hosha talaboyanda. So he's sinking. So he thought he had it. He thought he was Mr. Apostle, but he wasn't. Amen. Oh, well, he survived that, but let's see if he got it now. Jesus leads him out into Gethsemane and says to the disciples, he places them, and he says, Tara, sit you here and watch and pray to Peter and James and John. Jesus goes further. And Peter says, I'm one of them. I got it. I finally arrived. There's some people in our churches that say they think they've got it. They had a goosebump Sunday night service and I got it. And the devil will find out if you got it. Don't lose sight of that. And Peter says, I got it. I'm with Jesus. Ain't nothing can do. He don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Guess what happens to him the night that Jesus is going to be tried, that Jesus is going to be a whipped and all? Peter snoozes. Hello? He goes to sleep while the master's praying. Jesus in there travailing. His sweat's like drops of blood. Oh, and he's interceding in John 17. He's praying. And Peter, it's Jesus' way of saying, Peter, you thought you had it, but you ain't got it. And I want you to know you ain't got it. Am I talking to you, anybody? Amen? Jesus called him and he left his fishing behind, left his nets behind, started following Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Amen? So listen, Peter said, I've got it. I'm in good. But he wasn't, because he was trusting. Whatever he was trusting in betrayed him, let him down, sunk. Peter, everything before Pentecost, everything he tried, he ultimately failed in it. Get that in your mind. Everything, you're going to fail in your endeavors if you trust in your flesh. Peter, you know, Lord, though all men betray you, not me, you can count on me. Jesus said, you heard me say that. And Peter tried every episode. But Jesus, even in John chapter 21, Jesus had come out of the tomb. He's going to be ascended. And Peter and the apostles, they gather around. And Peter said, it's post-resurrection. And Peter said, I go fishing. It's all been a mirage. It's all been a fluke. I'm disillusioned. I thought this and it didn't happen. I believed this and it didn't happen. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find my net where I left it, and I'm going fishing. And the rest of them said, well, we're going to. Just fail. And Jesus let them know they failed. Jesus is standing on the shore cooking fish. And they didn't have gluten. Cooking fish. He calls out to them, children. He don't say mature people. He puts them in the category that they're in. They're children. Have you any meat? Are you successful? Are you victorious? And to their credit, for one time in their life, they fessed up. No. They could have said the tide's wrong. The wind's coming from the north, and it should be coming from the west. We've not had enough salt in the water lately. They could have just... Isn't it amazing how we just pour out excuses? Have you won a soul? Well, no, because, you know... Have you invited anybody? No. See, knowing because is like a horse and a mule. No. Nobody's trained me. Nobody... They were not trained in soul winning when they started with Jesus. They learn by watching. Jesus called them to the shore. But I got to hurry up. Somebody say amen. Jesus gives them instructions. In Mark chapter 16, he said, now these signs shall follow. He's talking to people that have not been tried yet. They've not been under the gun, so to speak. He said, now here's the deal. These signs shall follow the believers. Lay hands upon the sick, speak with the other tongues, cast out devils. Drinking it poison or anything, it will not harm you. He said that to them, but they hadn't done this. And the verse number 20 of Mark chapter 16, and they went everywhere. This leapfrog in the head. They went everywhere preaching the word and the Lord working with them. No. Listen to me. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But yet Jesus, the Bible said Jesus, they went everywhere preaching and the Lord working with them. He's up there, but he's working with them. How's he doing it? By the Holy Ghost. Am I talking to anybody? And these people, Jesus said, tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They went to the upper room. Please pay heed to what I'm getting ready to say. Why is it the upper room? Why didn't just say in the house? Why didn't they just say in the basement or what? But they went to the upper room. And here's my logic. Sometimes you got to get above street level. Sometimes you got to get above the human mess that you hear. Negative. What's for supper, honey? Well, I didn't have time to cook today. I heard some. You got to get separated from that pulls you down. When you get in that upper room and shut the door, you're there for one reason. You're there to serve God, to seek God, to obey God. And they go to that upper room in obedience to Jesus Christ. They don't just go on a witch hunt. They're obeying Jesus. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't know, but they know that they'll know it when it happens. Hello? Here's a man that cursed. Here's a man that denied. Here's a man that fled. Here's a man that was weak principled. Here's a man that was vacillating between this and that and the other. But he's obeying the command of the Lord by going to the upper room, 120 of them. And listen, that is the perfect picture of the church. The church is not Caucasian. The church is not African-American. The church is not Italian. The church is humanity. 17 nations gathered, represented in Jerusalem. I mean, there's a dark color skin. There's a light color skin. There's a every fixture you can think of. And why is it that in 2017, we've got a certain brand of church? Okay. That didn't go over well, but it's the truth. Well, do you have any Jews that go to church out there? I hope we do. You're talking to somebody inviting them to church. Well, do you have any African American? Well, I hope we do. It got quiet. So, Brother Willis, say amen. Help me out. Hallelujah. They go to the upper room. They don't know what to expect. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord. And 9 o'clock that morning, God opened heaven's windows and blew. You remember Jesus breathed on them? But this was a tornado wind. This was the wind that opened the Red Sea. This was the wind that opened Jordan River. He blew. And when it did, tongues of fire came, and 120 people were submerged, and they emerged out of it, and they were baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. And we hear them all speaking in tongues. There's nothing to be ashamed of in speaking in tongues. Well, now let me bring this to a close. Now, chapter 2 is the before and after. Before chapter 2, you see a weak man, a loudmouth. You know, they go up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they come down, and there's a father, got his son, small boy, with the disciples, and Jesus said, "What is the deal?" "Well, Master, I brought my son to your disciples and wanted to get help, and they could not." Peter and James and John come down, and Jesus said, "Oh, you little faith." And Peter was in that crowd that could not. See, but now something is different. See, before Pentecost, it was "I can't," "it don't," "I fail." How many people in our churches, in our church, in churches everywhere, how many people start running the race real good and they think they've got it? They go on Facebook, they go on YouTube, they go on whatever, they think they've got it. God will find out whether I've got it or not. And God will just move. And so there are people that think they've got it, and they don't. Here's when you got it, when you are sealed. Does anybody remember Ephesians? Sealed by the Spirit? You know, can I give you just a 10-cent? These people that can, I mean, I know that won't happen anymore, but in the old days, they canned vegetables. Anybody remember that? And how did they do it? They sealed the jar. I mean, it was an art. So, and you say, "Is that going to go bad?" "No, sir, that's going to be fine." How do you know? Because it's sealed. I'm sealed. Now, the devil is always snooping around trying to find out how to unseal me. Peter come, he went to the upper room. I'm closing. But he come down out of that upper room. He said, "I got something to tell you. They're not drunk like you think." Now, courageous, bold, not intimidated. "They are not drunk like you suppose, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my flesh I will pour out my spirit." Oh, he's bold. They took, in one part in Acts, they said they took note of them that they've been with Jesus. Peter, he goes in Acts, he goes to Acts chapter 3. "Silver and gold have I none, but I got something I didn't have the other day when I come in. The other day I walked by and put a dime in your cup. I don't have a dime. I'm just building it. I don't have a dime today, but I got a hold of something, and something got a hold of me." See, we talk about "I got the Holy Ghost." That's good phraseology. That's fine. But the greater and more honest phraseology is "the Holy Ghost has got me." That's when it's really the issue. Does he have you? Are you spirit possessed? Are you spirit obsessed? Are you spirit dominated? To be led, and Peter heals a man, and he goes in, it creates a stir in the temple. I mean, all that noise going on, all that leaping. Well, if you'd have been carried daily of all of your life, and somebody just come by and said, "Silver and gold have I none, get up!" Do you think you would have gone in there where people were and said, "I would like to have a moment of your time, please"? He was a raging tornado. And they couldn't deny it because they remember. He'd been there all those years. They saw him. They knew that this was the man. There was no fluke. They knew that this was the man. And then they tell Peter, I'm closing now. They tell Peter, "Don't you preach or teach in that name," talking about Jesus, "in that name anymore. It's over. Let's shut it down right now." Peter said, "No, here's the deal. I can't help but speak of the things that I've seen and heard." So they beat him. Here's a man that was a coward. A little girl had caused him to tremble. And now he's standing, he's courageous. I can't help but speak the things that I've seen and heard. They beat him. And then in chapter 5, they put him in jail. And in chapter 12, he's in prison. Guards are all around him. And there's a prayer meeting going on at Rhoda's house. Our leader's in jail. Let's pray him out. And Peter, courageous man, is sleeping. I've not reached that point. But he's sleeping. He's told. And he knew that this was no mess around. Listen to me. Herod stretched forth his hand and killed James, the brother of John. And the intention was to kill Peter the next day. Peter's got a sentence over his head. You got 12 hours to live. Or 18 hours, whatever it would be. Now, don't you think I'd be trying to get me a piece of paper and write to my children this, and, you know, I leave all my earthly wealth and whatever. Peter just says, well, it's nap time. But while he's sleeping, the God that indwelt his body was working. And then we come to the closing moment. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter said, for it is shown unto me that I must soon, shortly put off this tabernacle. Would you stand with me? Two or three things I need to ask. Are you capable today of walking on top of your trouble? Are you capable today of saying, you're not going to get me down? Anybody here, would you just bow your head just for a moment so we can have privacy? Anybody here, say, my trouble has been bad and I've been sinking, but I believe I can get a hold of God. Anybody here say, I'd like to have prayer because I'm sinking in my trouble. Anybody? Anybody here identify with Peter before Pentecost? He was boisterous. He was just a perplexed personality. One time you read he's in there, and next time you read he's running. Maybe you're here this morning, and I know you are. And you've tried, and you've shown like a spotlight sometimes, but then other times you've just faded out. And that's not the way God intended you to live. God intended you to always be triumphant. Anybody here, you just say, hallelujah. Brother Linwood, would you pray this benediction?